With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Back here, first things first. Look who's here. 11-time NBA All-Star Chris Bosh joins the show.
We had to do it.
What's up, man?
Appreciate it, man.
We had to do it, man. I got so tired of this dude calling himself an expert. I said, I'm getting ready to bring him one, import a big one. 6'10", your official height.
Yeah, 6'10".
Okay.
I mean,
even
you know,
with
now
the new one,
shorter.
No, come on.
Well, with the new ones,
the new one, it'd be 6'10" still.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because these are your broadcasting shoes. You don't have to take the shoes off
of
that.
Yeah,
6'10".
I'm good. Yeah,
okay.
6'10".
And I know he's not in yet, but no matter, I don't know what Michael Jordan would say, but Hall of Famer Chris Bosh.
On his way.
Thank you.
Yeah Michael Jordan said ain't nobody a Hall of Famer. Steph Curry
Dude's still playing in the game. He ain't a Hall of Famer yet.
Okay.
Yeah, Steph Curry's got a long, nice career.
A long way to go.
He can have
MVP.
Not a long way to go. Just a nice, long career. More bodies of work to do.
Uh-huh.
All right, Chris, let's talk about the NBA season, which opens tonight. And while all eyes were focused on the Pelicans-Raptors game to see the debut of one Zion Williamson, those eyes will now need to focus elsewhere. We learned Zion's out 6 to 8 weeks with a torn meniscus, so that timetable puts him back in mid-December. Now, in 4 preseason games, Zion averaged 23 points while shooting 71% from the floor.
Ooh.
Chris, you concerned that injuries are going to keep Zion from reaching that superstar status? Hasn't played a game yet, might already need surgery.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough thing. First and foremost, you know, you want to be out there playing. We haven't seen him much on the court yet. He's had a phenomenal preseason, showing his athleticism, being with the team, getting that young group ready. But, yeah, you got to be concerned because – injury can, we've seen injury derail many careers, and he's at that age to where he doesn't even know how to really, you know, get his body ready for the game. This is a different beast, a different game. We haven't seen him much at the collegiate level, and we haven't seen him much at the pro level. And, you know, knees, that's a very, very serious thing. So, you know, he should take it easy for the next 8 weeks, get his body right, but also, you know, learn the mechanics of the body and get that extra training and stretching and dietary and all that stuff. That's what he should work on for the next 2 months.
So much of this is really concerning for me. Also, while I don't pretend to be a medical expert, I did a lot of reading on the meniscus yesterday, and it seems like there's two ways to treat a meniscus injury. One is a trim, and one is to sew it.
Right.
Now, the trim gets you back on the court faster. It's more likely to lead to long-term problems.
Yep, just like any other trim.
Right.
Able to get you
in. Right.
Yeah.
Sewing it is the way to fix it, in theory, permanently or long-term, but you're out 3 to 4 months. Oddly enough, I would be less concerned for Zion if they were saying he's out 3 to 4 months, because what this 6 to 8 weeks tells me is they're going to trim it, which could lead to even more issues long-term in his career. In fact, I think it's your teammate, Dwayne Wade, that said having the meniscus trimmed is what led to his long-term knee issues.
If he could do it over again, he would do it differently.
He would have had it sewn, and he would have been out. He banged knees in summer league, so we didn't get to see him play then. Mm-hmm. You mentioned he turned his ankle in college. He missed time then. And now we're not going to see him the first couple months of the season. I hate this for the player, and I hate this for the league. The NBA is so unique in this regard. Can't miss guys in the NBA, they almost never miss, unless because of injury. There's not, it is so different than baseball or football, where guys highly touted number one overall picks. Man, sometimes in baseball, they never have a real major league career, and in football, sometimes they never pan out, right?
Yeah,
in the NBA, guys that are projected like Zion become multiple-time All-Stars, usually go on a Hall of Fame track like Chris Bosh. The only thing that I can see derailing him is injury. And he's already hurt. He's already having a surgery, Chris. It makes me anxious for him and for his future.
Well, this is what he's going to have to make up his mind to. And he doesn't know anything about the pro game. Bosh has said it before. You have to understand not only your body, how special it is. There's some special athletes playing in the NBA. Russell Westbrook, I would say, is the most athletic point guard we've ever seen. LeBron is the most athletic three that we've ever seen. And Zion, he's the most athletic 6'5 guy that we've seen. But Russ, last three preseasons, Russ has had a procedure every year with his knees. Why has Russ's suffered, his play suffered? Not only his health, he can't get up and down the court. He can't explode. You can't do it as frequent. But because he don't have a jump shot. So for me, the most two important things become his weight, getting an ideal playing weight, I believe is around 260 right now. Now, we have to experiment with it. He's a big-boned guy. He's got a big rear end on him. So he is not a 220 guy. If a guy came into the league and was too thin, Chris Bosh out of G-Tech, we got to put some weight on him. Zion, too big, got to take some weight off of him. We're all trying to find that right weight. The next thing becomes most important, he's got to develop a jump shot, intermediate shot, because that takes pressure off him trying to get to the hole. Where does he use his most athleticism? Trying to get past a guy and trying to finish at the rim. If you can't shoot, then it puts so much stress on the rest of your body trying to get in the lane, trying to elevate. So as we watch him develop, as we watch what is his ideal playing weight, we need to watch the fundamentals. The difference between the good players and the great ones are they don't have holes in their game. They can dribble with their left and their right. They can finish at the hole with their left and their right. Those are the things, Zion, that we should be concerned about. The knee issue, I believe, will work itself out.
But, Chris, you also have to look at this from the Pelicans' perspective. They've got this amazing new toy that everybody wanted. They're desperate to get it out there and let people come pay money to come see it. Now they have this question. Do you try to rehab it? Do you fix it and get him back in 6 to 8 weeks? Mm-hmm. Do you make him sit out even longer so he's back for the long haul? Is it the player's decision? Will he have some say in how he wants to go as far as recovery and treatment?
He does, but... I think we're at a new day and age in the league where the teams are more aware. I think we've seen enough injuries derail careers, and we've seen enough injuries go from a small thing to a big thing and ended up, you know, just being nagging for guys for years and years. They don't do well for the organization. Organization can't sell tickets. They don't win games. I think they're going to take it very, very easily, very slowly. I mean, I remember Blake Griffin, and he missed his whole entire rookie year.
Blew out his knee.
Yeah, blew out his knee. Now, we don't know what exactly happened. Could he have played that year? I'm sure, because he's a young man. He could have recovered quickly. But in this case, I'm pretty sure that the Pelicans have everything on deck. They're outsourcing medical staff to help out with this situation. And, you know, as long as they take it as a serious situation and make sure he heals properly, that's the most important thing.
This is where I think it's great for the Pelicans that David Griffin's the man in charge. His time horizon is not 12 months, it's 12 years. He's thinking about the long-term health of the team, and those season tickets already been sold. You know, I mean, it's a bummer for the people who paid for him, but we saw, remember, the clip of the ticket office when they won the lottery. Like, that money is already in the cash register, so to speak. I am curious, though, even though you and Zion, obviously, drastically different bodies, when he does come back, there are going to be times where he has to guard guys on the block. He's going to be undersized in that regard, but obviously he can jump out the gym. When someone, even in today's NBA, people still post up occasionally. When guys post up, where's it putting the stress on his body? Where are the pressure points there? Because we know weak side flying across the court getting a block, he can do that. But when he has to guard a guy one-on-one, especially guy taller than him, when you had to deal with a guy who's maybe a little thicker than you, where's the pressure points on his body in that regard?
I mean, it's more so upper body. You have to have tremendous upper body strength just to be able to hold down in the post. It gets tricky when you start moving left to right. That's why the knees are so serious, you know. We never really talk about the extremities, you know, too much, but knees and ankles in basketball, and I'm sure football
too. Those are
your
moneymakers.
Yeah, you have to be able to move around. So, you know, I implore them to just continue to stay serious. And as a young guy, he's going to want to play again. I'm sure he could probably dunk right now, you know, a day after surgery. But he's going to have to take his time. They're definitely going to take their time. And they just need to make sure, like I keep saying, he heals all the way properly. And, you know, there will be plenty of games in his career, you know, to go forward.
And see, you were concerned about his weight, the weight while rehabbing. You know what I mean? Like the ability to stay in the right shape while he's not able to run, do the cardio, all
Welcome
those things.
Welcome to the pros, man.
Yeah. All you do is have time, nice restaurants, fancy cigars, fine bottles of wine. Yeah. All right? It's going to be tough being
Especially
rich and
down
losing
there,
weight.
Too,
oh, man, them beignets.
here first things first. We're joined by Super Bowl champ Greg Jennings. Hey, Greg.
What's up, man?
Great to see you this morning.
Great to be seen.
We are talking MVP odds in the NFL. According to Fox Bet, Greg, Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson are now tied as favorites at plus 275 to take home the MVP honors. Both quarterbacks have carried their teams to great respective starts this season. That means odd man out becomes Patty Mahomes. Who's better bet to win MVP, Rodgers or Wilson?
If I'm betting, I'm going with Aaron Rodgers. I like what he's been able to do. Team has a better record, and he's doing it with not his number one guy. Mm-hmm. They've established a running game. He's entering into this season with a new head coach, new system. All these odds were kind of against whether or not it would work, or I shouldn't even say the odds. Myself and others probably questioned or had questions about whether the relationship would work. And it's working phenomenally. Mm-hmm. And it's all predicated on his demeanor, his posture towards everything. And it's been unbelievable. His stats that he's putting up, the two interceptions that he has on the stat sheet, they really don't even belong to him. He had the one against Philly that got tipped at the goal line. He had the one against Detroit that got dropped and then intercepted.
At the goal line. Hit the dude in the face, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, he would be interceptless if it weren't for those two. And the way he's throwing the football right now, vintage Aaron Rodgers, he's not – what's been most impressive is he's not doing it in a manner of, I have to be everything for my team.
Ad-libbing.
Yes.
Throwing on schedule.
He's doing everything that Matt LaFleur could ever ask for him to do and more. I love what the defense is doing. They got to get better for him and not giving up the big plays, but I like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, both of these quarterbacks, it's hard to be able to how am I going down the stretch? Because it's based on how the team plays.
Yes.
I believe Aaron's going to have more help. And with more help, he's got a more established running game. Even though Seattle has a more running culture, Aaron has the more talented running backs. I believe Aaron Jones can be a special player, continuing to use him in the passing game. Also, Davante Adams is better than any receiver that Seattle and Russell Wilson will have. So I believe the defense in Green Bay is a lot better than the defense in Seattle. And those types of things right there lead to having the MVP-type season. The slow start by Aaron Rodgers. Offense being expanded through weeks 3 through week 7. You could start to see. Oh, wow. And they're doing that without their best receiver. So for me, Aaron Rodgers is likely to get better. And Seattle is likely, and Russ is likely to come back to the pack.
And you made a point when we were discussing this in the past, and I think it's a good one to remind the audience, that in the NFL MVP, at least in recent history, it's been part and parcel, not just with the quarterback position, but with your team having an extraordinary record.
Yes.
If you look at Pat Mahomes was the one seed. You had, when Matt Ryan won it, they had a bye. When Cam won it, they had a bye.
Yes.
When Brady won it most recently, they, of course, had a bye. So if you think the Packers are likely to go 13-3 and Seattle's likely to be a wild card team, if they, you know, assuming they get in, that speaks in Aaron Rodgers' favor. Now, I should say this in the beginning. Before the year, I picked Aaron Rodgers to win the MVP. And I still think right now this them being dead even is ridiculous. This is, up until last week, Rodgers was not in the conversation at all. He had 8 touchdowns to those 2 interceptions, even though those 2 were not his fault, agreed. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson had 14 touchdowns to no interceptions. Up to last week, Russell Wilson, given the injury to Patrick Mahomes, was the runaway leader in this category. Now, Russell has his worst game of the year, his first bad game since last December. Aaron Rodgers has one of the best games of his career, and they're dead even. One week can erase the margin that Russ had built up over the first 6 weeks. I think that's unfair. I think Russell has been the best player in the league up to this point this season. I think he still should be. If we were awarding it right now, he would be the league MVP. Can he sustain it? That's where the odds come in, and I understand that part of it.
Yeah, maybe we should stay away from the MVP till midseason.
Well, we're at midseason, aren't we?
Well, I mean, but we had been hyping up for 4 weeks okay. because we had Patty Mahomes running away with it.
Right.
Russell came into the race. Patty Mahomes faded a little bit. Aaron Rodgers came from nowhere. So that's a lot happening in 7 weeks.
Could there be some weight given to the fact that Aaron Rodgers and the Packers have played much heftier opponents than Seattle has so far, that the defenses that Aaron Rodgers has gone against have been far superior than the one that you've seen that Russell Wilson has seen? Does that factor in at all when it comes to who we're discussing for MVP?
It definitely will factor in, but I think more than anything, it's really going to be about who we see and who shines in those moments. What I mean by that is in primetime games, Aaron Rodgers has looked great and his team has won.
Yeah.
And so you bring up one of the greatest points I think I will hear when it comes to MVP, the help that he has going down the stretch. It's not always about the talent and the play of the individual, because obviously if you're in the MVP conversation, you're a great player.
Yes.
And so with your help that you can get and acquire from your roster, the guys that are on the field with you, that enhances your opportunity and
Absolutely.
Your chances, to your point, going to the schedule as a team or the record as an overall team, to better your chances and opportunity of winning an award like that.
And that's why Rodgers and that's why Russell Wilson have a better chance than Patty Mahomes. It ain't based on the schedule, what they think they're going to do. Patty Mahomes, now people know Tyreek Hill is a star. Travis Kelce is a star.
Yes.
Sammy Watkins is amazing when he's healthy. So look at the difference in what Russell's throwing to and what Aaron had to deal with in the first part of the season. So I think those things, too, separate some of the people when they will vote for this.
Well, and that, to me, is another thing that is a feather in Russell Wilson's cap. Is we have talked about how the deck's been stacked against Aaron the last couple weeks because he hasn't had Davante Adams. Well, Russell Wilson's been without his number one receiver all year long. His number one receiver was Doug Baldwin. He retired. Now, he has turned Tyler Lockett into, they seem to have some mind meld connection where they are now going on a 23-game streak of when Russell targets Lockett, he has a perfect quarterback rating. No other quarterback wide receiver combo has a quarterback rating better than 130. Theirs is still a 158.3. But that is, Tyler Lockett is not a true number one receiver on any other team.
No, they don't have a number one.
Right, and so he's almost been pressed into service as the number one receiver. Russell lost his tight end, who Will Dissly was having a nice year, to a torn Achilles a couple years ago. So I understand we give Aaron credit, and rightfully so, for doing it with a kind of weight. Who's that wide receiving core? Right. That has been the story for Russell all year long.
Here, first things first, we're joined by former NFL quarterback Danny Cannell.
What's going on?
Danny,
how are we doing?
Welcome to the show. Great to have you here. So we're glad you're here. The one thing we've been discussing all week, which no one can come to agreement on, is Patrick Mahomes and whether or not he should play this week. Last week, he dislocated his kneecap. At the time, it was expected he was going to miss a couple of weeks, at least. But he was back at practice on Wednesday and then again yesterday. Yesterday, he took reps with the second team as the Chiefs prepare for the Green Bay Packers on Sunday. Now, Mahomes' offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, said, quote, Pat looked like Pat. So, Danny, I ask you, should Patrick Mahomes play this Sunday against the Green Bay Packers?
First of all, let me say it's outstanding that we're even having this discussion after the panic that set in for NFL fans, Chiefs fans, when that Thursday night when he went up in that heap. Having said that, I think it would be absolutely asinine to send him out there this quickly after an injury like that, that was as scary as it was. He has to be 100% without question normal, you know, fully healed, nothing remaining from that knee injury. If that's the case, that's a different discussion. But the Patrick Mahomes that I see these clips of practice looking a little bit hesitant, there's a slight limp in there, I would not in no way, shape, or form have him out in the field.
I would go even a step further than that, and I know Chris feels differently.
Both of you are crazy.
No matter how he looks this week, it wouldn't be available to him. Because we also know he's not just dealing with the knee. He's been dealing with the ankle all year. This is an opportunity for the ankle to get right. The offensive line, we don't know if the offensive line, the left guard and left tackle, are going to be fully back or not. We also know that the Chiefs, because of what's going on in the AFC, the Texans lost last week, the Raiders lost last week, they do have them, and the Chiefs, without Patrick, were able to beat the Denver Broncos in going away, so they didn't all of a sudden keep them alive in the division. They have a bit of a margin. I know Patty is going to want to get out there, and the fact that he was fourth team reps on Wednesday and now second team reps yesterday. So he seems to be being allowed to do more and more. But the only way this Chiefs season ends in disaster is not a first-round playoff exit. That's not it. The only way this Chiefs season ends in disaster is if what I thought happened a week ago yesterday happens, which is Patrick Mahomes suffers an injury that could alter the trajectory of his career. I know that's available to you at all times when you play football,
of course.
But it's obviously more available to you if you are not fully mobile with a maligned offensive line against a very good Green Bay pass rush. So I wouldn't give him the opportunity to play this week. I am starting to become open to the idea of next week, even though I had initially said the Titans game would be the first one. But this week would be a no-go for me, C.
Yeah, for me, I think you guys are really not looking at some of the facts. And the fact of the matter is, yes, he did dislocate his knee. Are we used to players dislocating their knee? No, we're not. But when we see him come back and he's available to do some light jogging on Wednesday, regardless of what your perspective is on a dislocated kneecap, obviously this was not a bad injury because the training staff would not jeopardize even having him out there in a knee brace running and everything. To explain why he went from fourth team reps to second team reps is because they're trying to put a game plan in and Patty can't go full speed right now. So they have Matt Moore in there so they can go at full speed so they can get the timing so they decide what they're going to have in the game plan on Friday. Patty Mahomes doesn't need those reps. He just needs to be able to show the training staff and the coaching staff that he's mobile enough that he can protect himself. That's what this game is about when you're a quarterback and you have a lower leg injury. The league is already protecting you because no one can hit you in the pocket, waistline or lower, so they're going to protect him. So for me, it's not about making the decision I'm going to play Sunday. It's about, can I be available for Wednesday's practice? And if I can, I try to do a little bit more on Thursday, try to do a little more on Friday. I don't make up my mind I'm going to play until I've been through these steps. Now, Danny Cannell, I remember you when you were real, when you were younger. And growing up in South Florida, who was the quarterbacks that you grew up liking, Danny Cannell?
Dan Marino, number 13.
Okay,
GOAT.
Do you think Dan Marino would have played with this type of injury?
I think he would have outstanding medical advice, as my dad was the team doctor at the time. But
I'm so glad you said that.
But I would also say the same way that what Dan Marino meant to that Dolphins franchise, I think you might have to take Don Shula would have stepped in, although he was old school as it gets. He might have said, go ahead and out there and play. You have to look long term. And this is a different era, CC, that we are talking about. It's hard.
What's the difference?
Well, the money that's involved, first of all, is astronomically more. I also think the fact that they do have this lead in the division does have to matter. If this is a playoff game or a game late in the season where maybe there's a chance for home field and something's at stake that's meaningful, then yes, then I think it's a different conversation. But because of where you are in the season, because Andy Reid has had a successful background with backup quarterbacks, he was 11-5, his backups were when he was in Philly. You have a good backup. You still have incredible weapons on offense. It's okay to buy an extra week of rest with Patrick Mahomes.
No, Danny, I'm so glad to have you because Danny's dad is a world-renowned doctor. Part of my career, he was my doctor. He's amazing. And the relationship between a player and the doctor's got to be able to trust the player that he's going to tell him the truth. Patty Mahomes has been telling the staff, I'm healthy enough that we can put a knee brace on me. That should show you that he's making progress. Obviously, he didn't have a great deal of swelling, so I do understand. Danny Cannell's dad, I would be working with him. But at the end of the day, once he clears me, it's up to me and the coaching staff. And I don't believe that they're making a mistake by having him out there. I just always tell people, I leave it up to my body. And if my body is ready, I'm going to try to push it and be there for my teammates. I've seen quarterbacks for the last 30 years put knee braces on in some form or fashion go out there. The game is not different, all right? Patty Mahomes, even if he shatters his knee, Nick, he's going to get $200 million. If not in Kansas City, somewhere else. So he is that type of talent.
I don't even want to throw that out there.
He is that type of talent.
I agree with you. Listen, there is no injury short of a career ender that's going to change the offer the Chiefs make to him this offseason. I don't think Patrick's going to play on Sunday, and I don't want him to play. But Chris made a point yesterday off the air while we were walking from this building next door to our office that you haven't made yet today, but
but I want to make for you because it is, I think, an interesting one and one to think about. Chris said to me, he goes, Nick, best case scenario for you, well, how does Patrick Mahomes' career end? I said, with him being one of, if not the greatest quarterback ever, him having a handful of MVPs, a handful of Super Bowl trophies, and being a Pantheon player. And I think he has the talent for it. And Chris said, he goes, the guys who do that, they have moments like this. They have the, whether it's the MJ flu game or the Brett Favre, the game after his father passed away, the Monday Night Football. You have these iconic moments, to steal a line from WWE, good God, that's Patrick Mahomes' music. We're on national television against Aaron Rodgers when 10 days prior his kneecap was being relocated.
Yep.
He takes the field. And that, medically, that doesn't sway me, but sports storyline-wise, as far as what is going to be the story of Patrick Mahomes' career, that was a compelling point that I want to give, because I hadn't thought about it from that perspective. That guys that, and Patrick, by the way, I'm sure thinks, yeah, I'm going to be one of those guys.
Yep.
One of the greatest who's ever done it, and this is going to be part of my story here.
Yeah, I think both of you make great points. I think you leave yourself the opportunity. I'm not trying to say be reckless. I'm not trying to say do something that I wouldn't do. But I would give myself a chance. And I'm not saying this to say this, but being out there with my teammates, it means something to me. Them guys knowing they could depend on me, it means something to me. Because the guards, the centers, the tight ends, they got knee injuries. They got ankle injuries. And you know what happens to them? Ain't nobody sitting around saying, hey, man, you should take a couple weeks off. I like them guys to know, regardless of what the money is, regardless of what my status is, I'm going to be out there playing ball with you if I can.
I love it. I'm sure Patrick Mahomes has that attitude too, but quarterbacks are different than all those guys that CC mentioned.
Yeah, y'all soft.
No, you got to protect them. I will say this. I think he has those moments in spades. Let's just see it play out over the next 10 years. We don't need to see it this
week. Yeah, and stop talking about someone else signing Patrick Mahomes to a contract. How dare you?
Wait, that was your issue, not the knee broken in 200 pieces?
Listen, a different team is going to sign him? That's what your issue is.
Patrick Mahomes is hopeful he'll be back in less than 3 weeks from his dislocated kneecap. But with Mahomes out, Kansas City will rely on their other offensive stars like two-time All-Pro Travis Kelce, who leads all tight ends with 541 receiving yards this season, kind enough to get up and join us this morning. Travis, thanks so much for hanging with us today.
It's good to see you guys, man. Always good.
All right, I want to start by asking you about Mahomes, as we just talked about. Now that we know the injury isn't as bad as it could have been, take us back to the moment. Just how scary was it? What was your mentality? We were on the field. You saw him. We saw his reaction. It really looked scary to us. Just kind of take us back through it.
Everyone knows it was a QB sneak on either a third or fourth down. And we were trying to get everyone off the pile, and we saw the pack didn't move, so everyone's trying to figure out what's wrong with him because he really isn't in a panic. He's kind of just laying there and knows that he can't move. And once you look at his knee, he started pointing at his knee. And once you look at his knee, it was like, that doesn't look like a knee. I don't know what that is right there, but the kneecap was in a different place. And it was just, it wasn't a good sight to see. Didn't know whether, he was going to be back in the game or obviously, you never know how long he's going to be out. So it's just it's good to hear that it's not as bad as everyone originally thought it is, and that he's getting healthier every day.
Travis, there's been a number of teams that have a great deal of success with a backup quarterback. We know you guys change your mentality when Matt Moore comes into the lineup in last week's game. Now moving forward, as a veteran tight end, who I believe is the best tight end in the NFL, what adjustments are you going to make sure that Matt Moore is comfortable and this offense still runs smoothly until you get Patrick Mahomes back?
The biggest thing is just try not to do too much. You know, who we are as an offense is always going to be good enough. We got players in the locker room that, you know, it matters to them. So we're going to go out there and we're going to compete every single day, every single play. But trying not to do too much and just being ourselves, I think that'll be just fine because Matty Moore can come in and dice it up.
Travis, I was really impressed by your guys' ability as a team moments after Patrick Mahomes went out, when it looked like he was going to have to be carted out and then he walked off the field, to immediately turn the page. It's something Chris talks about all the time, that no matter who the player is, you have to have the ability to do it. I think you guys responded better than Chiefs fans responded, who were terrified sitting at home watching. You guys really rallied. Defense played its best game of the year once Patrick Mahomes went out.
How important now that you especially know Mahomes' timeline was that win, and was for the defense the confidence that, oh, we do have this type of game in us, even if we haven't shown it the first 6 weeks of the year?
Oh, yeah. It was a huge confidence boost for our defense to be able to stuff Denver like that. I mean, it was they played lights out all game long. It was the first drive that is the only time they scored, I believe. And even then, they ended the drive by stopping a two-point conversion. So everything was building up for them all game. And to see them get that many sacks, play that well together, it made it that much easier for the offense to be able to rally together knowing that Pat was down.
Obviously, Patrick Mahomes to Tyreek Hill was something we were all looking forward to. We didn't get that much time to see that. But does Hill being back in the lineup bring a different element to this offense, regardless of who the quarterback is?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it matters for sure. Don't get me wrong, but Tyreek Hill being on the field changes everything from a defensive perspective. I think him being the fastest guy in the league, he automatically puts a cap on the defense. You have to play 20 to 25 yards off the ball as a safety, as the deep third defender. And it's just with him being on the field, it makes everyone else kind of open up. And that's what you get with playing with one of the best wide receivers in the National Football League and being Tyreek Hill.
Travis, I remember talking to you after you got drafted by Kansas City, giving you some background on Andy Reid, telling you what a special place it was with their fans, and also how Andy was going to help you out. Also on that staff, you guys have as an OC, Eric Bieniemy. Eric is a guy I'm very, very familiar with. How important has your overall development been with Andy Reid and offensive mind, but also you and Eric Bieniemy, you got into a little something on the sidelines. I know you squashed it, but you talked about how important this coaching staff is in getting the best out of Travis Kelce. Can you elaborate on that for us?
I mean, Coach Reid being the unbelievable coach he is, I mean, he's done it year in, year out for countless amount of years. I've been so thankful just to be under his offense, let alone be able to pick his brain about the tight end position, which he's coached in the past. But even on top of that, Coach Eric Bieniemy, he's one of the best OCs in the game right now. And he's been one of my favorite coaches since I've been here. He knows I love him, and we're both very competitive. So what you saw on the sideline was just two competitive minds going after it, and him holding me accountable throughout the game. And, you know, I love him for it. I love him for it. It got me going, and sure enough, we ended up definitely squashing that, but moving on forward to better things and find a way to get a win last week.
You had, I thought, a really interesting, if not just a little tongue-in-cheek quote before the season, I think at a fan event, where you said, listen, if you think we're going to pass, we're going to pass. And if you think we're going to run, we're probably going to pass it anyway. And that is who you guys were through the first 6 weeks of the season. Even at times, it felt maybe to the team's detriment, being you've got you, Tyreek, all these weapons, Patrick Mahomes, why would you not pass? But it kept the defense on the field a ton, and you guys had the two-game losing streak. With Patrick now out, how confident are you in the running back core, and do you think the Chiefs will get to maybe a little bit more of a balanced offense that could pay dividends once Patrick comes back?
I mean, in terms of league-wide, I really do believe we have the best skill players in the league, and that counts in the running back room, too. I mean, LeSean and Damian, both those guys, they're a two-headed monster back there when we get the ball in their hands, and I don't think anything really switches up that much. I honestly believe Matty Moore can come in and fill the needs that we need back there at quarterback and get dubs just by, you know, the offense that we already have set.
Travis, put some Kansas City Chiefs fans at ease a little bit. Obviously, some people thought the end of the season was upon us with Patrick Mahomes going out. We saw what happened in New Orleans where Drew Brees went down, and they've managed to sort of keep the ship afloat. You guys have a great offense. You're playing very well, and then this happens. You know, what do you say to your fans? What do you do over the course of the next couple weeks to make sure you're in a good position when Mahomes does return to the team?
Just know we have a lot of people in this locker room that care. And that's the biggest thing, is when you get a lot of guys that where it means something to them, and you're playing for something, for somebody else, you know, a band of brothers grouped together, you know, that's something difficult to stop. That's hard to stop. So I think everybody in this locker room, we just come together just a little bit more, circle the wagons just a little bit more, and come together and even finish the season strong. Bearing injury or not, you know, you're going to have to find a way to win. And that's what the Kansas City Chiefs are about. We got Andy Reid back there, so we know we got a chance as long as we got Big Red.
Travis, there's a few pairs of brothers in the NFL that I feel like we talk about a lot. Everybody knows Nicky and Joey are brothers, play same position, similar style. I'm not sure how many people recognize, wait, Travis and Jason Kelce are brothers. You guys are very different people. You guys have different personalities. You guys both seem to love to have fun, but in different ways. Give me a Jason Kelce growing up story. Growing up in the same house as him. Not him in the mummer's costume at the parade, but something your brother is going to text you after and say, I can't believe you told that story on television. Give us a good Jason Kelce, Philadelphia Eagles center story.
Oh man, you just put me on the spot. Golly, everyone sees him as this big, like, tough guy, center in the National Football League, has to move 300-pound men as his job. And, you know, the one story in my mind that I could think of is we're big hockey players growing up, so we would play roller hockey in the driveway. And I remember he went out to the street to turn around to come back as I was playing goalie. And sure enough, he wiped out. I'm talking about right out from under his legs. His blade slipped out from under him. He's flat on his back, and he gets up, Mom! Running in, holding his tail like he had just, you know, got spanked. Oh my goodness, it was the funniest thing ever. I'd never seen such a big kid cry for his mother like that.
That's awesome.
So getting ready for next week's game, I know you've probably taken a little bit of a film study with Green Bay. They do have a defense now. We know Aaron Rodgers. You know you got to score points, keep them on the sideline. But looking at Green Bay, what are some of the problems they present for this Kansas City offense?
Man, honestly, I haven't really peeked at them that much other than the night game they had the other week. They got Aaron Rodgers. It's the Green Bay Packers, man. Now, you know you're in for a fight. A lot of tradition going even in between these two teams. I mean, a lot of tradition. And I think the more I look at the film, the more I'll realize, you know, what we got to really do to attack and find a way to win.
All right, Travis, before you go, tell us about your partnership with Old Spice.
Old Spice. I'm here on behalf of Old Spice, the official antiperspirant of the NFL. And, you know, they're always irrationally finding a way to tackle odor and sweat. You know, it's in every single locker room. And it being the official antiperspirant of the NFL, even Montez Sweat of the Redskins is not safe. With the new 48-hour sweat and odor protection and the antiperspirant, the sweat defense dry spray. Everyone, go check it out.
I hope they're paying you well, because that was fantastic.
Great. Hey, hold on, Travis, real quick before you go, you're having another great year, but only one touchdown. You should have two, but your guy, my guy, Patrick Mahomes, went all fancy week one, went no look and missed you on it. He tweeted he was going to buy you lunch or buy you something. Did he actually ever come through on that and pay off that debt?
You know what? He's bought a few meals over the years.
Oh, that's a no. That's a no. He's going to lose you.
The touchdowns where I had no business scoring. So trust me, it goes both ways. I ain't mad at it. And we got the win, so.
Travis, thank you so much for joining us today. Oh, all the best of luck for the rest of the season. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Travis.
Well, it's good seeing you guys. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.